Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
So what you just heard right there is the reason why sports is so great. As we welcome you inside Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, all of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. And this is what I mean. Jay, I know it's radio, but we got to see it. Take the hands off.
This is like Keyshawn up in Washington Heights, Key. You know what I mean? This is, we
man,
doing
I'm not
it,
giving
Key.
Away my secrets, man.
Okay, all right. You're right. I'm gonna shut it down.
Yes.
I'm going to shut it down.
From 125th Street.
Yes.
Hey, man.
Nobody people listening
knows,
out
Zubin.
There, man.
Nobody knows.
Once again, this is why this is such a great story. And Jay, I want to get right to you here because this obviously is your first love, the NBA. If you would have told me last night in the triumphant return of Kyrie Irving that all of these things would happen, all the fellas would get their shots, 67 total, and everybody got the rock, everybody got their shots up. It was the first time we saw KD, Harden, and Kyrie together. Kyrie had 37, KD had 38, ho-hum, James Harden had another triple-double. All of those things could have been the lead story. But instead, those three guys, who I'm sure will be the lead story night after night after night moving forward, were passed by another guard, a kid that went for 42 last night in a double OT win, including scoring 15 points by himself in the second overtime. Jay, it should have been about those big three, but it's the big one for the Cavs we're talking about this morning.
And people have no idea who Colin Sexton is. He played basketball at Alabama, and I watched a game of his in college where he played against Minnesota. And literally everybody on their team fouled out of the game. They were down to three players. It was three against five. Now, they eventually lost the game, barely, but Colin Sexton went off for 40 in that game. So he has that ability to score at such a high clip. And I think, you know, look, it wasn't the right draft move to keep LeBron James in Cleveland. I didn't think LeBron was going to stay in Cleveland regardless after he won that championship. But he sets a really great foundation. But moving forward to the Nets, Zubin, I'll say this. It doesn't bother me that the Nets lost that game last night. It doesn't. I mean, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, they lost their debut. LeBron James, Chris Bosh, D-Wade, they lost their debut. I think what you saw was just the fluidity of their offense. It looked like it worked, and it felt comfortable for all three of these guys. Now, look, they're going to be averaging 65, 70 shot attempts between the three of them every single game. Ultimately, them giving up 147 points is what kind of concerns you. Do they miss Jared Allen enough blocking shots and things of that sort, holding down the paint, really being an enforcer? I think they do to a degree, but they're going to have to find a way to remedy that in order for this team to win a championship.
It's good basketball to watch. It's fun to see. But when you look at these systems that are Mike D'Antoni-ish, kind of in the mix, kind of Steve Nash, D'Antoni, a combination – they're going high volume. They're going to shoot a lot. They're going to score a lot of points. But it's the defense that always concerns you. And I know everybody always says this system can work. It can work. It'll work. They ain't never won no championship with it, man. Everybody's scoring champions, MVPs, putting up a lot of points. It's the defense that concerns me with this team. It's not the fact that they could score. We all know they could score. Even if they wasn't together, you know, you got guys like Kevin Durant. He's going to fill it up. Harden's going to fill it up. Kyrie Irving, he showed you last night coming back after a two-week hiatus that he could drop buckets on you and give you 37 points. So the defense is the problem, because when you go and run up against some of these other teams, the Philadelphias of the world, the Milwaukee Bucks of the world, you know, you play some of the teams out west, you got to be able to defend. And that's the key. Where are you going to get the defense from? Are you getting it from Harden? I mean, he defended a little bit last year toward the end of the season and into the playoffs. He did okay, but not at the level that you think. KD could play it, but that's not his strength. You know, Kyrie, that's not his strength. Where does it come from?
Key, are you taking the Lakers to win the championship?
I almost said, do a bear do something in the woods. Yes, I am taking the Lakers.
Okay, I am taking the Nets. Zubin, mark this down. If the Nets beat the Lakers in the championship,
right,
Key has to dress the way I tell him to dress for an entire week in the studio.
And what do you do?
I'll do the same.
Okay.
I'll do the same. Is that
that's
a bet?
Fine.
Okay.
We're gonna get.
I need insight from people on social media. Please tell me what you want to see Keyshawn dress up as.
They're gonna have to put one of those. By the time I dress you up, they're gonna have to put one of those silhouette things over him cover him up. Because I'm gonna put you in something that ain't gonna be revealing on TV.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you some red bottoms. That's what I'm gonna get. I'm gonna get you some nice stuff so you can wear it. So you can be extra tall. I'm gonna have you walking around like you 6'7".
Extra tall.
Jay, I want to dig into the Nets schedule here a little bit more because every game is going to be extra scrutinized, probably more than any other team in the NBA, maybe save the Lakers. We're still waiting for the NBA second half schedule to be released. We're still working through some things. I'm just going to reel off the games just for the rest of the month. Now that, let's say, everybody is back together, Kyrie back playing his first game since January 5th. He only practiced for the first time on Tuesday. Again, 37 points, 48 minutes, 22 seconds. As Key said, game shape, ready to go. Their next game is going to be at Cleveland again on Friday, then a couple against the Heat, the Hawks, at the Thunder, at the Wizards. Not exactly a murderer's row there. That's just till the end of the month. What do you expect to see? How much progress by the time the month ends as we wait to see how the rest of the schedule will shake out?
I mean, I think they're going to come out on Friday and make a statement with the Cavs. I think they're going to handle the next couple of games throughout this month. I look forward to games, Zubin, where they go back and they visit Houston.
Right.
For James Harden. I look forward to the game where they play against the Lakers. I think their first matchup is at the Staples Center because I know how when people talk about LeBron James being the greatest of all time, I know Kevin Durant sees himself as the greatest of all time. Mm. So those are matchups that I look forward to. Like those individual matchups, not so much the team matchups. It's those matchups where I know there's underlying things that irk one player about the other to a degree or about a franchise, seeing how they step up to that challenge.
Those two guys going up against each other is going to be a wash anyway, right? I mean, it's you going to score 30 and I'm going to score 28. That's what happens with great players. It's not like all of a sudden they getting ready to shed each other down because you cannot shed them down. No matter who you are, they're going to get theirs.
Key, I don't want to see – what I saw in that Milwaukee Nets game. I want to see Giannis guard Kevin Durant. And I want to see Kevin Durant guard. I want to see Kevin Durant guard LeBron James. And LeBron James guard Kevin Durant. Like I want to see those matchups happen.
But go ahead, Jay, finish.
No, you're right. No, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, but can Kevin Durant guard LeBron? Which I think LeBron, to a degree, could guard Kevin Durant, and the reason I say that is because of the size difference on the muscle mass, not the length. We all know KD is a little taller, a little lengthier than LeBron, but when we're talking about that power, that freight train ability that LeBron has when he puts that head down and goes to the cup, what Kevin Durant got to move out the way.
But Keyshawn, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not going into any damn game thinking I can't guard somebody.
I understand the thought process. I get it. And Kevin Durant is not going to go into a game feeling that way. I'm just talking about from me to you. Size-wise, thickness-wise, it seems like that advantage goes to LeBron. When I saw LeBron playing against Kevin when he was in OKC, not OKC, when he was in Golden State, it seemed like, you know, he was a little slight. And he couldn't really do what he needed to do, especially when he put that head down and get inside the key. It was almost like a wrap.
He can bully his way to the rim. But I think, Zubin, this is where the Nets miss somebody like Jared Allen. Because DeAndre Jordan can do that to an extent. Right, but Jared Allen was that person that if Bron did have to put his head down to barrel through Kevin Durant, not only is he worried about Kevin Durant and that length to block shots, but now Kevin Durant is funneling him into Jared Allen or DeAndre Jordan. So that is going to be the question for the Nets moving forward. You know, they did out-rebound the Cavs last night. They did have more block shots. But when you play against a team like the Lakers who have that size and the game slows down into a half-court game, if that speed is that pace, that's where you have to be concerned for the Nets.
Well, and when you look at Dennis Schroeder coming back, coming back. I always want to say Schroeder because of Ricky Schroeder, but Schroeder coming back and replacing what's my man that left? My guard that left. I threw a blank.
Avery Bradley. Yep.
Replacing that, can he slow down Kyrie? Can he meet Kyrie half court and slow that down?
Well, I think if you force Dennis Schroeder to be that player defensively, then that takes away from the legs that he has offensively, right? So, but you're really not going to have a choice. He's going to need to be on the court. So those are the matchups where it gets intriguing, right? Like, can Dennis Schroeder do something like that the entire length of the game? Or, you know, do you put Alex Caruso on somebody like Kyrie who has that energy? I probably put Caruso on him before I put Dennis Schroeder on him just because he has more energy. He can exert that and not worry about what he has to do offensively.
I forgot about the guy's name.
No worries.
I'm getting
old. It happens, man. We got a lot of names,
man. I'm getting old.
But if you go back to your childhood, Key, definitely not raised with a silver spoon. Let's go from A to Z. So right between the Bay and the A, if the A is the ATL, middle of the country, Kansas City. Big story in the NFL this week. It's really amazing that Brady is facing Aaron Rodgers, and that's the second biggest story of the week because Patrick Mahomes' condition is the number one story. He was out there, practice limited. Andy said he took all the snaps. He's on track, you would think, to play. Obviously, the decision is going to be in the hands of the independent neurological consultant, but Wednesday was certainly good news if you are a Chiefs fan. Also good news that Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Sammy Watkins returned to practice yesterday. If you're like Jay and you care more about the numbers than just the final score, our Doug Kazarian, ESPN betting analyst, host of Daily Wager, weekdays 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, on how the fluctuation in the status and the health of Patrick Mahomes affects the status of the spread.
The betting market certainly expects Patrick Mahomes to play on Sunday. KC currently favored by 3, and an odds maker told me he thinks it will only move to 3.5 if Mahomes is confirmed, but he wouldn't be shocked if it just stays at 3. Given it's such a key number in NFL betting, it's nuanced because the most common margin of victory in NFL history is 3. However, if Mahomes is out, Bills might be favored by as many as 6 points. Remember, Packers and Vikings were both 5.5-point road favorites last year when Mahomes missed time. So if you like the Bills, even with Mahomes playing, it makes sense to bet it now.
Worst case scenario, Jay, that's a 9, 9.5-point swing. That's incredible. Shows you the value of just one player.
Exactly. And if you're Josh Allen, you're sitting there saying, okay, Patrick Mahomes is a little bit hobbled. You know, our defense is playing at a high, exceptional level. We don't really have the ability to run the ball a ton. So, I mean, this is an arm race, right? This arm race between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. You got to go get it right now, Josh Allen. You're not going to have too many opportunities in your career where Patrick Mahomes is going to be somewhat down, if he is down.
That number is going to grow the closer we get to the game. The healthier Mahomes looks, that number's going to grow.
We'll keep an eye on it. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. I mentioned Brady versus Rodgers. Rodgers had somewhat of a cathartic, like, just let me let my hair down sort of press conference yesterday. There's a lot of people that feel Aaron's got a lot of pressure. He's openly said he needs a second Super Bowl. People think this is a great opportunity, hosting the NFC Championship game for the first time in the Rodgers starting era. But he says, for all y'all that think there's a lot of pressure on me, trust me, I know me better than anyone else. It's not the case.
Yeah, no, I think no more pressure than usual. I think a lot of times, you know, storylines and pressure and those kind of comments are, you know, good stuff for you guys to write about. But I think it starts with the mentality and the focus. Obviously, I put pressure on myself to perform every single week. And then I think there's a lot to be said for being able to harness that pressure and the fear of failure and focus it to, you know, real positive. And that's something you learn over the years. But I don't feel any extra pressure going in this week.
Pressure obviously can be defined in many ways depending on the circumstances. Key, he says none, but you think in a way there might be more pressure on him than anyone left?
Well, because his legacy is second Super Bowl. If he wins the second Super Bowl, he gets put into that company of that rare company of the Bradys, the Montanas, the Elways conversation, because he's going to eclipse some records along the way. But it's his pure athleticism and his ability that make people feel as though he's the best quarterback of all time. And I know Patrick Mahomes, it has the opportunity to become that. But with a second championship for Aaron Rodgers, when you got home field advantage throughout the playoffs, you've never had home field advantage. You've been to 4 NFC championship games, right, and you will be surpassing the guy that you replaced in Brett Favre, who has 1 Super Bowl, and you have the chance to possibly get 2. So that's the only reason why I say there's a lot of pressure. Now, he doesn't care. He doesn't feel the stress because that's how we are as athletes. We don't think about what the outside people are talking about. Now that I'm on the outside, I have become one of you germ spreaders, Zubin.
In the media.
Yes.
You guys that write those stories, as Aaron Rodgers said, Jay.
I mean, look, I hear everything you're saying for Aaron Rodgers. I still think Aaron Rodgers has a long time. I just go back to the Chiefs conversation that I've been saying. It seems like the Chiefs are playing with house money, and I don't know why it feels that way. I don't feel like there's that same pressure on this Chiefs team, and it should be. This team has been talked about like they're one of the most talented teams we've seen in a long time. And I know Patrick Mahomes has been compared to Michael Jordan by some people, Jeff Darlington in particular, on our network. You're comparing him to the GOAT, the greatest to ever play the game, one of the most iconic figures to ever play in the history of sports. And people have said that Patrick Mahomes has changed the landscape of the game, like Stephen Curry and the way he shoots the three ball. I don't know why it seems like they just kind of roll underneath the radar, Zubin. That's all.
Here's one thing I would mention that isn't mentioned quite often, because as you, Jay, mentioned, we're probably not that close to the end of Aaron Rodgers' career. Remember, didn't really play the first 4 years. He's openly talked about playing into his 40s to follow Tom Brady. He's 37 right now, probably having the best statistical season he's ever had at the age of 37. And by the way, we'll get some great historical analysis on what this means for Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady when Key's partner, the legendary Chris Berman, joins us this morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. So hang tight for Boomer. I'll be interested to get his perspective. The thing about Favre and the thing about Rodgers where you have to separate, for me, and there's an open question whether Aaron is going to finish his career in Green Bay. I mean, it's an open question. I think he would, but you never really know. When Brett left and he came back, he got the hero's welcome when he came back. But let's be honest. You go to the Minnesota Vikings, you go to a team in the division, he went to the Jets, he went to other places. I still think he's a legend for who he was, the gunslinger, the mentality. But if Aaron Rodgers were to win, as Key said, one more championship than Favre and play his entire career with the Packers, never leave, never jilted, none of that stuff, we'll welcome you back. Championships more than Favre, more than his predecessor, the guy that was trying to hold him off, retire, not retire, and then go the entire way. Peyton Manning couldn't do it at Indy. Joe Montana couldn't do it in San Francisco. It is so hard to do that, to go the entire way, one franchise, a legendary franchise, multiple Super Bowls. I think it's a wrap.
Yeah, you're right about some of those things, but when you start to think about it, Peyton Manning got hurt. He would have been in Indy to the end. But when you are not sure if he could even play, you got this cap, you got all this, you got the number one overall pick.
Luck
sitting there. Mm. You have to move on. Steve Young sitting there. Joe Montana's at the end. At the very end, you had to get Steve Young going. So it's a little bit different with Aaron Rodgers. He got Jordan Love behind him.
But I would also say Manning succeeded when he left. Montana succeeded where he left. They all did great with their new teams.
Absolutely, but they left under different circumstance. Aaron Rodgers was sitting behind Brett Favre, and Brett Favre was playing games. Right. Oh, one day I want to play, next day I don't know. Oh, we're going to figure it out. I got to talk to my wife. Oh, I'm going to do it. I don't know. I've decided. I'll let you know in a month. Oh, well, I'm just in doing all of that, they was like, I'm done with it. Where Aaron Rodgers was right there, who was good. They saw him every day in practice. They see Jordan Love every day in practice. And I ain't heard nothing good come out of Green Bay about Jordan Love. So I think Aaron Rodgers is okay. On top of that, I predicted that in the offseason of 2021 or 2022.
Okay.
No, 2021. My years are speeding ahead.
Okay.
2021, I predict after this Super Bowl run, they'll be talking to Aaron Rodgers, and I already said this, about an extension on his contract, because those numbers on the back end of his contract has ballooned up. Mm-hmm. They need to bring that money forward, extend him out, give him another 4 or 5 years, another $300 million, and ride off into the sunset. Mm.
I feel like there should be some kind of shrine. If he's able to get another Super Bowl and that surpasses him from Brett Favre, that puts him into that elite category for the statistics that he has. I mean, there has to be some kind of shrine of Aaron Rodgers outside Lambeau Field. There has to be something like that.
Oh, he'll get his due at Lambeau Field. They got the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame right there. He'll be fine as far as that go. If he wins a Super Bowl this year, he's going to win one or two more before he retires in Green Bay. If he wins it this year, he's going to win a couple more. Mark that down at 8:19 Eastern time, today's date.
Why? Why if he wins this year, he'll win more?
Because they got a young team. These young receivers like Allen Lazard, you got Davante Adams, they're going to redo his deal. You got young players on the defensive line like Kenny Clark. You got Alexander, who's young at the corner position. So when you look at this team, This is a young football team. In all, for all intents and purposes, Jay, the damn quarterback is young compared to some of these, you know, compared to like compared to Tom Brady and Drew Brees. He's young. Aaron Rodgers still can play another 8 years and still do what he's doing.
Aaron Jones is 26 too.
I didn't want to go through the entire roster, but yes, they got a. That's a young football team with a young head coach.
Yes, the head coach is barely older than Aaron Rodgers.
They're not trying to depart from Aaron Rodgers no time soon. And I understand what happened a year ago when they drafted the young quarterback out of Utah State. Everybody was up in arms. Oh my God, they need a receiver. He need nothing. All they needed to do was get to training camp.
There's no doubt about it. And keep in mind, it's rare when you play an NFL playoff game with the way the NFL has embraced youth that you're 37 and you're the younger quarterback in that game. That doesn't happen very often. On the way, speaking of Aaron Rodgers' opponent on Sunday, after the Bucs won in New Orleans, their star rookie said, quote, "That was for my pops. Who's dad? Who's the son? Pops on the way."
What's different for Rodgers in this playoff run?
Mentally, he's just in such a good spot.
The present is such a gift, having fans at our stadium and NFC Championship game.
Whatever the spread is on this game, give it to me and more for Green Bay.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sexton, six on the clock. Three ball. There's another one! Colin Sexton! Absolutely sizzling from downtown. 139-131. Cavs by eight. Colin Sexton at 39 points.
Let's update the call on WTAM. He actually finished with 42. They were up eight. They won by a dozen in double OT. Colin Sexton, 42 points with 15 alone in the second extra session. It was the first game that the Nets' new big three were together, and they weren't the problem. Just got to get some defensive stops. Kyrie had 37 in the first game back after missing seven. Durant had 38. Harden had another triple-double. All eyes in the NFL on Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes out there practicing Wednesday, as Key said he would. He remains, though, in the concussion protocol, limited work. Andy said he took basically every snap out there. There's a five-step concussion protocol to pass. It looks like with what he did yesterday, he's clear through the first four steps, still waiting for the independent neurological consultant to clear him. Obviously, they're one step away from the Super Bowl, and that step would be a lot easier if old number 15 is out there. And Larry Scott is going to be done in June, on the final day of June. His tenure will end as the Pac-12 commissioner. He will stay on to try to find his successor. Mixed bag, but a lot of critics will tell you the Pac-12 fell way behind the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC, as my noted Pac-12 alum sitting exactly 6 feet from me. And as you may know, when it comes to the college football playoff, the Pac-12 is nowhere to be seen.
Hey, watch out.
It's true, and that's a big part of what's going on with the conference. SportsCenter brought to you by Nature Valley. Feel the rush of a chilly morning. Embrace the possibility of the perfect snack and taste the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside.
Aaron Rodgers has blown through everybody on his way to this NFC Championship. Coming off what Tampa was able to do to Drew Brees, this one is going to be super interesting.
Every time I played in Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Buffalo, nobody was cold out on the field. It's not that big difference.
You know, I'm pretty sure, because I call my dad every day on this day, I'm pretty sure Father's Day is on a Sunday in June. It's like middle of June almost every year. But our next guest will probably tell you Father's Day was this past Sunday in January, because this dad saw his kid ball out, and he's got some good genes, G-E-N-E-S. It's a pleasure to welcome in Antoine Winfield Sr., who was a tremendous player in his day, now watching his son, Antoine Winfield Jr., ball out and be maybe one step from the Super Bowl.
You know, Zubin, he was one of my favorite corners to play against because he just wanted to play football. He didn't have time to be talking and smacking like Patrick Surtain and like those guys down at the Dolphins. He just played football. If he won a battle, he won. If he lost, he lost. It wasn't no back and forth chitter boxing.
Antoine, I hear you chuckling, man. Welcome inside.
Thank you guys for having me.
What's up, Twan?
Keyshawn, I love the observation. What's up, Keyshawn? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Just, hanging in, enjoying working with J. Will and Zubin, and enjoy watching your son play. He had a really incredible season for a young man to come into the NFL and do what he's done so far. He's one game away from potentially going to the Super Bowl. What is it like watching him out on the field?
I still can't put it into words. Watching him from, I want to say, probably the age of four until now, just the way he's progressed throughout the years, just me getting out there on the field, working with him through technique, and then him going out there his rookie year and doing the thing that he's capable of doing, I'm just so excited about his future.
When you look at it, and you know, since this is a different situation for him, you played corner, he's at the safety spot. What did you teach him in terms of the covering skills along the way? Because I'm sure you had him in the backyard doing something.
Oh, absolutely. And the good thing about that, I had three boys. So I was coming in after practice, and hell, I would open the garage door and football is hitting me in the face. They want to play football. So I'm taking them outside, showing them all technique. We're doing ladders. We're doing back pedals. So with them, I didn't know exactly what position they would play. You know, I knew he wasn't going to be blessed to be 6 feet and 230 or whatever. So I knew he was going to play defensive back. So I went to the cornerback position, taught him all that, the nickel position, strong safety, free safety. There's no position in the defensive secondary that he can't play.
Since you have been in a position before where you're one win away from the Super Bowl, what have your conversations been like with him?
If you get this far in the season, you have to win. I remember my rookie year, went to the playoffs, lost in the Music City Miracle to the Tennessee Titans. Mm. So you get this deep, you're in the championship game, you know how to prepare, watch the film, study your opponent, and play fast. And I said, when you get an opportunity to make a play, make it. Because in these type games, it's going to come down to two or three plays that will decide the winner.
Antoine Winfield Sr. is joining us on the Goodyear Hotline to talk about his son. You said make a play, and I want to obviously talk about what is on the line here for Bills fans. You know that fan base so well. We'll get to that in just a second. It's one of their biggest games in a quarter century. But when you said make a play, tell me about, and for the TV audience, you'll see it, tell me about maybe one of the takeaway plays from Sunday from your boy, the punching of the rock right out of Cook's hands.
Well, for Twan, he's a playmaker. He's been doing it ever since high school, whether it's creating turnovers. He played a little bit of punt return, so he's known for making big plays. He does a strip, interception, which he did a lot in college at the University of Minnesota. But that play is something we've seen on film. We knew once the tight end is outside the line, the outside receiver, number one, he's either running a go or he's running a slant. He felt the guy pick him. He knew the ball was coming. I don't think the tight end even looked his way. He's seen air. He threw the punch, ball out.
Twan Jr. said after the game that victory against New Orleans was for you because back in 2009, you lost to the Saints. Mm-hmm. How did that make you feel knowing that he was thinking about you during that moment?
That says something about our relationship. I'm sure he's heard about that game a few times in the house. I mean, that game has bothered me since it happened. I don't think I'll ever get over that. And as a player, you know, that was the only chance I had in my 14-year career to make it to the Super Bowl. So that was a tough loss for us. But for him to go out there and perform, and after the game, those words come out of his mouth, it shows you the type of character that little guy is.
Now, I'm going to bring this up because our producer, Evan, who's in the, at back at Bristol in our studio, he's a little mad at you because he said that, which I know, you originally committed to sign with the Jets and then you backed out and went to the Minnesota Vikings. So he's still a little bit angry at you. Evan, are you there?
I'm here.
Tell him how you feel, man.
Yeah, let's talk it through, Evan.
Let's talk it through.
I just want to know what happened. We Jets could have gone to the Super Bowl with you.
Oh, man, I was close. We had a deal on the table. We didn't want to announce it. Me and my wife at the time, we went upstairs. We were going to meet the GM for dinner. We heard it go across the screen. Antoine Winfield signed with the Jets. I'm like, oh, I had to call my agent. No, we didn't. We didn't sign yet. Hold on. Minnesota got on the phone. I was very familiar with Ted Cottrell. He just got the job as the defense coordinator. They upped the price, and you know, and you're a free agent, Key. Spot that money.
Yeah. So the Jets ultimately screwed it up. There you go, Evan. Another Jet screw up.
Twan, that worked out well for you. I mean, that's great leverage, right? I mean, that's great leverage that they went ahead too early.
Oh, it was. It was great leverage for me. My agent got me another $5 million out the deal.
Now that you're looking at the Bills in the AFC Championship game up against Patrick Mahomes and that elite receiver group, what do you think the Bills need to do to play the Bucs potentially in the Super Bowl?
Number one, they have to get after Mahomes. I mean, I know you don't want to leave your defensive backs one-on-one with Tyreek Hill and Kelsey, but you have to mix it up. Trust me, I've played under Leslie Frazier. He will have a great game plan for them. And I really think the Bills have a really great chance of upsetting the Kansas City Chiefs.
Twan, we've been talking about this all morning. It's a Twitter poll question. I'm really curious to get your insight. Out of all the quarterbacks left in this competition, who do you think has the most pressure on them to win?
The most pressure to win? That's funny. I would say Aaron Rodgers. I would say Aaron Rodgers out of everyone. I mean, you understand Tom Brady has won 6. I know it was boom or bust with them. They expected, once you sign Tom Brady, you're expected to go to the Super Bowl. So that's not pressure. Tom's been there. He's going to perform. We're not worried about that. I have to go with Aaron Rodgers. This is his 5th NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. He's won 1 Super Bowl. He's had a phenomenal year. I mean, I understand they drafted the young guy behind him. I'm sure that put a more fuel to the fire under Aaron, and he's performed at an MVP caliber season. So I'll have to say Aaron Rodgers this year.
That's the question we posed this morning, and both Key and Jay are in total agreement with you. Last thing from leverage, as Jay said, from leverage to longevity. Think about this on the way out the door here, Antoine. It's great to have you with us. You played against Tom Brady, and now your boy is playing with Tom Brady. And that says everything about Tom Brady and his career. So great to catch up with you this morning. A trip down memory lane, and best of luck this weekend.
I appreciate it.
All right, Twan, baby. Holla. Good luck with your boy.
All right, man.
Last thing I would tell you, very small thing. Did you notice how he said when I talked about the punching out of the ball? He said, we caught that on film, as if he and dad might have been, yeah, your dad, you might want to take a look at the TV copy, whatever you're doing sitting at home. We saw that on the route, still being a dad after all these years. On the way, the NFL's best insider. On the latest, on the NFL's best quarterback.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Story in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes took a big step to potentially being cleared to play on Sunday.
It's a tall, tall mountain to climb if you don't have Patrick Mahomes.
I'm told that Patrick Mahomes is successfully working his way through the mid to later stages of that protocol. He continues to feel good.
But he took all the snaps and he feels good. He's going to follow this protocol as close as we possibly can.
Those last words, the most important, coming from Andy Reid yesterday on the condition of Patrick Mahomes out there taking all the snaps. So that's obviously got to be a good first sign. It's the biggest story of championship weekend, which is amazing because, again, Rodgers is playing Brady for a trip to the Super Bowl. And right now, it's the subheadline. The headline is what's going on with the NFL's best quarterback. For more on that, we're joined by the NFL's best insider, Adam Schefter, on the Goodyear Hotline. Adam, from your reporting, what is the very latest you can tell us about number 15 and his quest to play on Sunday?
Well, good morning, guys. I would say this, that Patrick Mahomes continues to progress through concussion protocol right now. He's at least through step three of that process. He has to go through five phases, and I think there's hope and optimism that he will get through all the phases and will be out there on Sunday. I think everybody would be surprised if he didn't play. Now, the real question is, how healthy is he? Nobody's fully healthy when we get to this point in the season if your team is still playing. But he did suffer also that foot injury on Sunday that left him a little bit hobbled. And so in addition to getting through the concussion protocol, Patrick Mahomes also has been nursing a foot injury this week. And so we'll see how that impacts him on Sunday in a game that I think people believe he will play. But there are still a couple of stages left for him to get through in the protocol, which the Chiefs are hopeful he could do today or tomorrow, get clearance, get out there, and obviously be the type of factor that he is in any football game he ever plays.
Adam, is there anything lingering out there outside of Patrick Mahomes this Thursday that could affect championship weekend that we are not talking about?
Like what? Like an injury? Like a head coaching search? Like what, Key? What do you mean?
More so on the injury front.
Well, again, you get to this point in the season, and there are always players who are injured, right? I think the Chiefs believe that they'll be getting back Clyde Edwards-Helaire on Sunday, which would be an asset and a help to that offense. He's a dynamic playmaking guy. I don't think people have talked about that very much this week. And when you're talking about a first-round pick coming back from injury, that potentially is a big factor in the AFC Championship game. Buffalo, its defense has played much better as of late, but it's been vulnerable against the run this season. So if the Chiefs could get back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, to me it would round out the most dangerous offense in the NFL.
You mentioned coaching searches. What's the latest on Eric Bieniemy and his situation that we continue to follow?
The Eagles have expressed some thought that they might be interested in talking to him, but we don't know whether the Eagles will wrap up their head coaching search this week or take more time to look at more candidates such as Eric Bieniemy. Houston did talk to Bieniemy. Again, is he willing to go there? Are they willing to hire him? Now, when they had a search firm in Houston, when they spent all that money on a search firm and didn't use any of the advice that the search firm recommended for the few $100,000 that the Texans spent on the firm, the Texans search firm did not have Eric Bieniemy on the list. Now, Nick Caseria took over as the new GM. He reached out and scheduled an interview with Eric Bieniemy. So the Texans' options, again, it's the least desirable coaching job in the sport right now, in the opinion of people around the league. And it's that least desirable job because of the situation with Deshaun Watson that hangs over the franchise, frankly. So I think Eric Bieniemy is in play there, but I just don't know whether he wants to go there, whether he's willing to go there. Don't know where they are with Leslie Frazier, who seems to be square in the mix for the Houston Texans job, and don't know what other candidates they're considering right now.
Shefty, a guy who is officially out of the mix is Philip Rivers. How would you sum up his career?
Well, I think that, first of all, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback to me, and he's one of the great competitors in the game. And he's a guy that played for a franchise that has never been one of the best franchises in the NFL. And yet he still excelled and shined. And here's a guy that went back and forth with his teammates. The statement that he put out to ESPN yesterday, if you haven't read it, is outstanding. It is dadgum tremendous, in the words of Philip Rivers, okay? He touched on all the topics. He hit the right notes. And I think the guy, again, played for a franchise that was looking for a new stadium, that moved to Los Angeles. He's commuting. Let's remember, Eli Manning was unwilling to play for that franchise. And Philip Rivers did. And there's a reason that Eli Manning didn't want to play there. And Philip Rivers put up with all that and still shined and still played through a torn ACL in the AFC Championship game against New England and never won a Super Bowl, but didn't need a Super Bowl to validate the greatness of his Hall of Fame career.
Adam, before I let you go, let me ask you about John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh said in a statement that he certainly want to get a long-term deal done with Lamar. You got four other quarterbacks in that draft class that'll probably get the fifth-year option placed on them. Where are they at, as far as you know, with Lamar in those talks?
Well, Key, what they've done is they've planned for, prepared for, budgeted for a new contract for Lamar Jackson that John Harbaugh has said he is quote-unquote certain is going to get done. And so they're going to work out a long-term deal for Lamar Jackson this offseason. Last offseason, we saw new deals for Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, who were in the same draft class. And I would imagine this offseason, you'll see long-term deals for maybe Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, certainly, Lamar Jackson, certainly. And we'll see what direction the Jets decide to go with Sam Darnold.
Last thing for you for Adam on the way out the door. This is the statement he put out to ESPN yesterday, to use Adam's specific word and a word so associated with Rivers. Part of the statement: I appreciate the referees for putting up with all my fussing. I think I was right most of the time. Dead gummit. On the latest edition of the Adam Schefter podcast, right, Adam? It's great. One of the courageous journeys in NFL history, Chuck Pagano, his cancer, his retirement, and an inside look at ownership. Adam speaks with the Bills co-owner, Kim Pegula. Download it anywhere you get your podcast. Adam, great perspective this morning. As always, enjoy championship weekend. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for having me, guys. Enjoy the conference championships.
Thanks, Shefty.
At you. So how about that? I mean, to me, it's so fascinating because, you know, it's the first thing Adam said. He's thought about it because so many fans think about it. They give it a beat, and then they say, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's the one guy, though, that gives you that beat, and it's been a great discussion. But most people think sooner or later he'll have a gold jacket.
Yeah, because he didn't win a Super Bowl. You look at everything else that he's done, and then you go, a couple other guys that win Super Bowls, and they're in. Yeah, he's just a Hall of Famer.
Right, Marino's in, right?
Yeah, so you have to. It just takes a little bit of a second, a delay, a pause. That's all.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could be extremely successful and not win a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know why we live in this world where it's like you're only deemed to be successful if you win the whole thing all the time.
No, I'm with you 100%, but I would just say he's not the guy that engenders he's absolute first ballot, which is why I think it's interesting. You said the Super Bowl is the delineating factor, but even with everything, there's a ton of people that just aren't convinced totally.
It's so difficult to be first ballot unless you got Super Bowl rings. Right? Or your numbers is just, you like, number one in everything.
Boomer is next.